You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Once you start to understand what makes you happy is, in essence, also doing something meaningful for others, helping others. And when it's not about yourself anymore, but it's about making this world or other people's lives a better place. Because in essence, we are, of course, all connected, spiritually seen, we are all connected, and when we see other people suffering, if we are free from our own suffering, we can really feel empathy and we want to help them, we want to take them out of their suffering. But also on a more, let's say, scientific level, this is how we have been able to survive in groups, to do something meaningful for the group, for the tribe, to help each other, and not just to be yourself the strongest and the best, because then the tribe, if everybody would do that, the tribe would not survive. So, but in a more spiritual sense, once you start to understand what really makes me truly happy in life, and when you have freed yourself a bit from the egoistic way of thinking, you understand, like, okay, being able to share, helping others, make this world a better place. Otherwise, it's a hungry emptiness that you can never fill up if you only do it for yourself. But once you feel the endless source, the bubbling source of life, of consciousness within, it wants to stream out and not fill it up with, fill that emptiness up in a certain way.
The seven chakras, swirling vortices of energy, positioned throughout our body from the base of the spine to the crown of the head. For thousands of years, this ancient wisdom has been passed on from master to disciple. What are the functions of these energy centers? And could these chakras help you unlock your destiny and find your true purpose? Welcome to My Seven Chakras. And now, your host, Aditya Jayakumar.
What's up, Action Tribe? AJ here, host and founder of My Seven Chakras, mysevenchakras.com, the show where we help you experience effortless healing, calming your mind, and experiencing more abundance in life. In today's episode, we talk about some really amazing topics, including yoga, pranayama, travel, healing, living a life of purpose, living a life of balance, and all those amazing topics that are probably on your mind right now. So if you are interested in discovering something new about yourself and about life, then make sure that you hit the subscribe button if you are listening to this on Apple or maybe Spotify, or if you're on YouTube or maybe on Facebook, then make sure that you hit the share button, because that will allow more people to join us and partake in this conscious discussion that we are going to have right now. My guest for today is Michael Biker, who is the founder of the Life Awareness Project. Michael has practiced and studied mind training and meditation since the age of 14 and studied Qigong and yoga since having to recover from a severe car accident that happened in the year 2001. By the powerful methods of Qigong and yoga and the grace of God, he was able to recover from injuries of which medical professionals considered he would probably not heal. And since then, his life is dedicated to helping others to learn these powerful techniques, techniques that will not only give you health, focus, and strength, but make us realize that who we truly are, what is our calling, and the essence of life. And this is our second interview, the first one we did back in August 2020, which where we were in the thick of the pandemic. So make sure that you listen to that one as well. And you can find that episode at my7chakras.com/372, my7chakras.com/372, because in this episode, we're just going to carry on the conversation, right? So, Michael, how are you doing?
Oh, good, AJ. Thank you for having me on your wonderful podcast and live stream also now through YouTube. Very nice. Also, the people that join in. Very, very nice that you're joining in. I'm sure it's going to be a very wonderful, inspiring talk that we're going to have. And yeah, all is good. All is flowing here in Portugal. Things are, with all the situation that is happening, of course, now in the world, things are still flowing also in good ways. So yeah, we're grateful for that.
Amazing. And sometimes the internet reminds me of spirituality, because in spirituality, we tend to want to come closer to God, right? And if you think about God, God is everywhere. Well, when we're streaming, we're trying to stream everywhere as well, because you're streaming on YouTube and Facebook and our Facebook groups. It's just a little attempt to be in more places so that more people can maybe discover us and get to know about this amazing conversation that is going to unfold right now.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well said. Well said.
So, Michael, if you had to give a word to the state that you are feeling right now, that you are experiencing right now, what would it be?
Oh, that's a good question. I think a state of flow, but like with a river. A river is sometimes, as is in a stream, it's a very calm part, and then all of the sudden goes into rapids and goes like this, and then sometimes it goes into a more wider state of flow, and it's like that now as well. I'm feeling, thank God, healthy and good and empowered, but a lot of things happening in life nowadays. Both with the project that I'm doing, this Life Awareness Project and all the courses, but also with family life. I have two wonderful kids with my lovely wife, and that is also something that needs a lot of energy and attention as well. It's a beautiful thing.
That's so amazing. And I wasn't planning on going down that route, but since you mentioned it about family, as a yogi, as a teacher, are you consciously introducing teachings to your children as well? And at what point do you realize that it's necessary to, you know, teach your children maybe meditation or yoga or something along those lines?
I think it's super important, and my wife she also teaches yoga, and she loves to practice, and it's hopefully something that we can really start to give. I think now the children are in an age where you cannot really teach yet, but it's more that they just do what they see. So by just doing it and showing it in the living room many times in the mornings. We have a nice yoga session. We put the mats down, and then the kids are also on the mat, just playing along in a playful way. And as soon as you really try to teach, or you have to do this, or have to, then there is a resistance, and it goes the opposite way. So now they are 1.5 years and 3 years old, It's mostly we just do it at home, and then they see it, and maybe they're gonna copy this. Everything that a child in that age sees their parents do, they want to copy it. So that's the way to do it. But I think it's super important, and I'm sure that now there's a lot of wonderful shifts happening, but also the importance of mental and physical health is going to be really important, and that we also realize, like, okay, this is something we have to teach our children at a young age, also maybe in the whole school system. This is something which has to be taught, not just how to brush your teeth and how to know all the little scientific facts with biology and geography, but also how do you take care of your mind and emotional system. And I'm sure in the coming years, this is something that is gonna be hopefully put into the school system a little bit more.
I love that, and I think sometimes children can make us better teachers, right? Because their attention span is so limited. They're always getting distracted or curious, but because of so many other different stimuli in the world. And like you mentioned, in that scenario, it's better to teach them through your beingness and what you're doing rather than what you're instructing them to do. And the other thing is make sure that you introduce play in your activities as well, because children love play, and adults do as well. But sometimes we forget the importance of play and just doing an activity just for the fun that you derive out of it.
Absolutely. Yeah. And this is something, especially when you're teaching and doing yourself a lot of yoga, you feel how nice it is to stretch, and you feel how good it is. But if somebody is just starting this and he or she doesn't really feel that at all, and it's just hard work, and if you're not careful and it's only hard work, the person will really want to learn it, but after a couple of sessions he or she will think, well, I just don't have the energy for it, I'd rather do something else. Whereas if it's something more, a bit more playful, a bit more soft type of yoga, and that you enjoy, it's just a nice thing to do. And I believe it's the playfulness in things in life is very important to keep your mind also more soft and relaxed. Otherwise, it becomes all very rigid and hard on yourself, and you become hard on others, and you become hard with your own emotions and mind. And this hardness is, it can break. Softness will mold and is flexible.
That's very true. I mean, looking back at my life as well, sometimes I find that in the past, I used to take my life too seriously. And then I realized through my own practice that life is a game. All of it is an illusion. And if it is an illusion, then it's a game. And now they're finding out and maybe theorizing that we're living in a holographic universe. It's just like a child that spends 6 to 7 hours a day waiting for that new game to release. And then the child plays the game, dies multiple times, but knows at the back of their mind that it's a game, it's an illusion. And if it is a game, then you might as well have fun. And you learn something. You go from level to level. You meet other characters and you develop those relationships. But ultimately, it's all a game.
Yeah, I think you when you take the seriousness also out of it, when you see it like that, like, wait, wonderful, today, a new episode. I can fill it in a way that I want, and not take everything so serious. There is, of course, some things to be taken serious, don't get me wrong, but as soon as you start to feel that life is an experience, every feeling, every emotion, every situation, every choice that you make, it's all an experience that your consciousness, your soul can have. And if you can see it in that way, like you say, like seeing it as a playful, wonderful, creative game that you can play, all of the sudden yeah, you start to make different choices out of what you feel is the best thing to do, is a nice thing to do, not out of fear, not out of frustration or anger, but out of playfulness, out of joy. And this is super important.
Wonderful. And by the way, people who are listening right now, please, if you have any questions, please add them to the comments, because we will be featuring some questions towards the end of this episode that we can hopefully ask Michael. And Michael, I love that we're going down this route of play and flow. And the metaphor that you used at the beginning of this podcast was that of a river, right? And we find ourselves down the river sometimes, and sometimes it's very rocky and tumultuous and ups and downs. And sometimes that phase of the river is more placid. It's more calm. It's more, you know, easy to go. So my question to you was the topic of destiny, right? How much of our destiny is within our control, and how much of it is derived or driven by other forces outside of our control from around us?
Well, first of all, it's good to understand what is my view on destiny. I think once we understand that everything that you experience, everything that you feel is there for you to experience in this life. So basically, if you can fully embrace it and fully live it, you are living your destiny, and it's not like getting somewhere to fulfill your destiny or something, but living life in its completeness, whether you are living as a top CEO in a certain business, or whether you are just simply in a factory making some things, if you can live it completely, fully, as a game, as an experience, then it's already destiny in itself. And I think the more weight we carry with us in our mind, in our heart, stuck emotions, stuck way of thinking, judgments about ourselves, about our life, about the future, if you look at it in that river metaphor, this is heaviness. And this seriousness, this heaviness will make you sink in the river. And it's very hard to flow in the river because you are constantly sinking and you have to stay up the river. And, oh, there's a rapid and now I'm sinking the river. Well, when somebody is very light and the mind is free, the heart is open, there is no seriousness, no attachments, these attachments that you can sink you down. And you can float on the river. And it's like, ah, now there's a rapid, okay. Ah, now I'm just floating on wherever the river flows. And then it is a little bit like you have these river adventures, you know, where you go canoe or you sit in a big tube and you just float down the river. And it's not about getting to your destination point. It's about the experience you have while going from A to B. So as soon as you start to feel like you're in the canoe or in the tube and it's a beautiful nature around you, and but you start to feel, well, I have to get to point B, and you're missing out on all the beauty that happens at that moment, I think you're missing out on life. But as soon as you see, like, hey, this is already it, everything that you now experience, this is already it, if you can fully embrace it, fully live it, then all of a sudden a kind of deeper layer opens up and a deeper beauty that you start to see in everything in life.
That is really interesting. So, I mean, I totally understand the emphasis on enjoying the experience of going down that river. I mean, the metaphor that I bring to it is sometimes, especially when you're going hiking out in the beautiful mountains or in the lake, I mean, I used to, you know, take out my camera and just keep clicking pictures, right? Taking photos and photos and photos, right? At a certain point, I would have like thousands of photos in my camera, but not really enjoying any of it. And so what I realized then was, you know, take photos, but take limited photos. But at least at some points, you know, look out in nature and take a mental image of what you're experiencing and just look at that tree or look at that valley and just say, kichik, like I do that, kichik. And I remember that that helps me even hours down the line or maybe days down the line, remember that moment when otherwise I would, you know, be busy taking photos to hopefully remember that moment in the future instead of being in the moment and enjoying it.
And then you missed out on the moment. And also if you see it after, you think like, you know, it was nicer when you were there, or when you showed to other, you should have been there. It was really
exactly
really nice. Yeah, nice. It's almost like you when there is a beautiful moment, you can say it's a beautiful fruit, and the fruit is exactly ripe at that moment. And you walk past that tree and the fruit is exactly ripe, and at that moment you can eat it. But instead of eating it then, you take it in your pocket and you want to keep it for later to enjoy it for later or to show it to others. But then when you get back home, it lost its nice taste, or it starts to rot or something like that. It's the moment when it presents itself to be fully immersed in it, immersed in the beauty. That's a skill.
To being in the present moment, and I think that is something that our listeners and viewers can relate to and resonate as well. And one thing that has an impact on us in our life and the unfolding of life is our belief system, right? Especially negative belief systems. And sometimes, you know, we have these systems about ourself as well as about the world around us, largely formed because of social conditioning. But then what is your process of uncovering these, you know, negative beliefs that are no longer serving us? And what do we do about it?
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Well, it's mostly about also the habitual patterns that you have, right? The small things. It already starts when you wake up. You know, what is the first thing that you do? What is the first things that a lot of people do is they check their phone, and the first thing it's the almost the mental conditioning to start thinking about things that are not here and now, whether it's the news or your social media, all these kind of things. And that's a habit that many people have. And then the next habitual pattern is maybe being in a rush to go to work, or when they're eating the food not with full attention, but everything with a rush, and then stressing out about things. It's the conditioning that I hope a lot of people understand that they're responsible for themselves. You cannot blame the news. You cannot blame the social media. You cannot blame. It was your own conditioning that you have created a habit pattern in your life that in which you lose so much of your energy on these things. So I think once people start to change a bit their habitual ways of doing, but also ways of thinking, to become aware, like, okay, now I'm stuck in a certain loop of thinking or a certain way of feeling, there is a way to change it, and with a couple of like breathing techniques or some movement techniques, to get back to your source, to get back to your center. and to keep throughout the day reconnecting with that center, with that divine source, with your foundation. If you implement that in daily life, then it becomes a habitual pattern for the mind to feel connected, to be in the present moment, and to accept, to see the playfulness of things.
Right. It's so easy to go down that rabbit hole, right? I mean, I'll admit it. This morning, I woke up, and then after a certain point, I was automatically on my phone, right, looking at YouTube videos. And the way YouTube is designed is that they hire neuroscientists to understand the human mind and get it addicted to watching video after video. And even the YouTubers, you're a YouTuber, you might know, we are incentivized to keep people watching at least 50% of our video. And then after that, another video. And so I was watching video. And so the mind does not know the difference between something that is real or something that's virtual, right? And so I'm thinking about what happened in Russia. I'm thinking about somebody who's promoting their marketing course. I'm thinking about somebody who's, you know, released a new yoga video. And I've forgotten about the present moment, right? But I also know the stark difference when I'm able to wake up and engage in my mindfulness ritual or do a breathwork session or do some conscious journaling. It's so different because then you really enjoy and experience the tranquility of the morning. So that makes so much sense that you said that.
Yeah, but it's difficult because it's so tempting, you know. It's if you don't really have a set habit pattern yet, it's so much more tempting to be entertained with some news or YouTube videos than to sit still for 10 minutes and do breathing. It's like it feels like boring, but that's the thing. As soon as you really start to feel how much that gives you, and how that's a little bit the thing. Once you start to understand, okay, you can invest 5 minutes and then have hours of joy, or you can have 5 minutes of pleasure, but then it will cost you many hours of feeling disconnected. And that is a little bit the thing of being entertained, or like, it's almost like taking drugs or something, or alcohol. It's nice for the moment, but after, you're gonna have to pay back for it mentally, you know. After, when it's all worked out, you start to feel a bit low on energy, and it costs many hours or even days to recover from that. And once you maybe start to understand for yourself a bit better, okay, what is actually giving you energy? It's worth the investment of 10 minutes or 5 minutes, because it will give me hours of joy. And it becomes also an enjoying thing to do, of course, to sit still for 10 minutes. But in the beginning, it's hard.
Yeah, that's so true that you say that, because at the end of the day, it's about understanding the human mind, and what we do on a daily basis is basically because of the pain-pleasure principle, right? We're always seeking pleasure, that immediate gratification in most cases, that dopamine hit. But like what you're pointing out, if we are constantly seeking that dopamine hit, yes, we'll feel that rise, but we'll want more and more and more. Mm-hmm. But if we switch from that dopamine hit to that serotonin hit, we feel nourished, we feel good about ourselves and the world around us, but we don't need that hit again and again because we are satiated, we are satisfied, and that can go on for hours. Just like last night, we were talking before this interview, I gifted myself a self-love routine of engaging in some oil bath. And, you know, I heated up the oil and did the oil bath, and I, you know, did my other work, but the oil was sort of soaking into my skin for maybe about an hour, hour and a half, and then I had a warm shower to end it all. You don't realize how amazing that is after you actually do it, because then you see the benefits of the time that you invested in loving yourself, literally by applying oil on your body. But, you know, it takes some time to see, you know, see the activities that you're doing. And is it really giving you only dopamine, Or is it giving you the wondrous chemical of serotonin, that is the self-love chemical, right?
Yeah, and these things, yeah, right? I mean, it's so important to treat yourself, not in a selfish way, a self-centered way, but to just give yourself sometimes like half an hour, 1 hour, or a whole evening to just bring yourself into a relaxed state of being, to calm the mind, calm the heart. It's very good that you do that, definitely.
And so, Michael, you know, I see you as a very prolific creator. You seem to be doing multiple projects, and which is amazing. So what role do emotions play in making our visions and goals come to life? Because I know that many of our listeners are entrepreneurial, and they want to go down the route of maybe being a healer, a teacher, you know, a conscious creator. They realize that there's an inherent benefit in being conscious in what you do, but then there's also this burden sometimes of creating things and making things and starting courses and doing this and, you know, guiding people through down the path, right? So what role do our emotions play in making our visions and dreams and goals come true?
It's your state of emotion is a bit, it works like a magnet, you know. Your state of being, your state of emotion, your state of mind, this is where you will make your choices from that state of being, and this is kind of what you attract. So if there is a lot of sadness in your emotional system, a lot of stuck sadness, what happens a lot is in the relationship that you will have, the same sadness starts to come up in conflicts or in things, and you keep repeating that emotion. You keep creating almost yourself that emotion of, or in anger or in sadness. All these states of emotion, they reflect back into your reality, and you attract those things into your life. And What I very much try to teach also people that do, for instance, this breathwork instructor course that I teach, is that it's super important to first clean up your own heart and mind. Because a lot of people, and it's a beautiful thing, they want to help others. They want to help others, but they find it really hard to first look at their own pains and their own blockages in their mind, body, and spirit, and to clean that out, because it's a painful process sometimes. And so learning to clear that out, to clean that up by doing certain breathing techniques, of course, meditation, by bringing the awareness within and coming face to face with what is within and bringing the light in all the dark corners of your own heart and mind. And like I said, it's sometimes a bit of a painful process, but for these negative states and these karmic states, for it to come out, it has to go through the doors of your awareness. You have to first be able to completely feel it, to come face to face with it, bring the light of your awareness on it, and then it can go out of your system. It's not that you can push it away or do some just ignore the things that you will keep it in your system, and it will keep coming out in different ways into your life, in the ways that you create your life. So that's why if people really want to, as entrepreneurs, create a lot of beautiful things in their lives, I always very much recommend, make sure that you really take time, and this can be processes of months or even years, to clear that out. And then from that clear state of being, you start to create also with good intentions, good things in your life. It's almost like a projector. You know, the projector, if there is a lot of dust and dirt on the lens, you will keep projecting that everywhere where you want to project your image. You will keep having those specks. And you can blame then the wall for not being clean, and then you change the wall, and then it's again dirty, or you project it on something else, and you blame everything not being clean. It's the same that people keep blaming other people, other situation in the world for not being able to accomplish their dreams or their good state of being. It's because it's they have to check out their own source, where it comes from.
Action Tribe, if you're listening, watching this episode, then make sure that you are sharing this episode. Sometimes our listeners, especially on Facebook or maybe YouTube, they share this link to some Facebook groups or groups that you're a part of, and that helps us come in front of new audiences that can potentially benefit from this engaging conversation that we are having right now. So, Michael, I mean, the metaphor that I'm getting from what you're sharing is, and I'd like your thoughts on this, but sometimes when you know, we realize that maybe our heart or maybe our mind needs cleaning and purification, maybe we have a lot of darkness inside of us that we haven't come across yet. And sometimes it happens like when we start dusting the furniture of our home, the dust comes out. Mm-hmm. And we notice that there's way more dust right now than compared to before. And it feels as if our life is way worse than before we started this spiritual practice, this cleansing, this detoxification, this purification. Our life seems worse. The darkness in our around us seems worse than it was before, right? So I'd love to know your thoughts on that. And then at what point do we realize that we've cleansed enough or we've cleaned enough? And, you know, what is that indication that we receive from ourselves or from source that we are ready to move on?
Yeah. Well, it's of course very good for people to take responsibility for their own states of being. So that when you start this spiritual journey of inner cleansing and doing a lot of breath work and yoga, and sometimes people start to feel like, hey, I'm feeling more agitated. Like you said, they realize how much dust there actually was because now it's all flying around, but they actually clean it. So, and what can happen is that they can start to blame still others, or they blame the techniques, and they say, well, it's because of this technique I'm feeling this now, or they start to say, yeah, because of this relationship that I have, it's not a nice person, and therefore I feel so bad. But to take responsibility and see, like, okay, hey, wonderful, all these things are coming out. I'm feeling these states of being. And this is something when you become more spiritually mature, you are able to watch your own states of being fluctuate, but with a kind of wiser self, a higher self, and being like, ah, there is now a little bit of sadness that's coming out. I feel it. Okay, that's all right. Instead of the sadness comes up, and you start blaming your past, or you start blaming your mother-in-law for not saying a nice thing, or you start blaming this and that. You start to become able to take responsibility, know that it comes from out of yourself, that you are the one in a way that is responsible for the way it's being created and also the way that you're going to deal with it. And then you can start to use these processes of frustration, pain, sadness, anger that comes out as a cleansing. And being like, okay, all these things that are coming out now, if I shine the light of awareness on it now, it's something, what we talked about before, these karmic states or negative states that you still carry with you, it's starting to surface and come out. It's a good sign.
Interesting. So what I'm getting is, know the factors that are, you know, influencing your life, or factors that have influenced your life from the past, whether it's your upbringing or certain relationships that you had to go through, but don't blame them. Take full responsibility, but at least now you know from an observer standpoint that firstly, you're not the body, you're not the emotion, you're not the thoughts, but you know the things that influence your life. And there are things that you can do, like breathwork or meditation or silent contemplation, that can resolve those stuck blockages. So interesting. Thanks a lot for sharing that.
Yeah. And the thing is, you know, if something bad happened in the past, it doesn't mean that you are that the person is responsible for that the fact that the thing happened and should blame himself or herself that it happened. Of course not. The thing though is, if something happened 20 years ago and you're still creating so much negativity about it, and still it's causing you so much pain, you have to understand, okay, maybe already for 20 years you have not seen that person or have not been in that situation anymore, but still yourself you are creating those states of being. You are dealing it with it in not a beneficial way. It's a little bit like when you have a garden, and let's say that your mind and your heart is your garden, and you are the one that's responsible for what is growing in the garden, right? You have to make sure that you take the weeds out, that you make sure that the right plants grow well, and you water them with your awareness, with your energy, and other plants you take them out. So your attention is a little bit like water. With your attention, the more you give attention to something, the more it will grow. So right. If there is a lot of really bad bushes growing in your garden that take all the food out of the soil and take the sunlight out of your garden, you are the one that's responsible because you let it grow. You've been giving it attention constantly, maybe the negative part of your life, and you complain and you do this and it keeps growing. And also, in life, sometimes people pass by and they throw some bad seeds in your garden. But first, it's just a seed. But if you keep giving it awareness and attention and attention and attention, it grows into a big tree. Or in life, sometimes there's a storm and some wonderful trees, maybe they fall, nice fruitful trees, they fall. You are then the one who has to make sure that you clean up that garden and plant some new seeds. So therefore, learning to take responsibility, not blame yourself or your past or a certain situation, but make sure that you put your right attention, your right energy to the things that you want to grow in your life and not the things that you actually don't want to grow and keep giving it awareness, and it grows bigger and bigger.
Absolutely. And I'm finding also that a lot of what this is all about is also understanding what your story is, right? And telling yourself the right story. Like a lot of times, like you mentioned, when you have that tree in your garden that has gone through the storm and is now broken down and has no leaves and, you know, is withered probably, in your older mindset, you would have probably looked at that tree and said, I got to do something about it. It's so ugly. It's so bad. It's, you know, it's not looking good compared to the other flowers and, you know, plants that I'm growing in my garden. But if you have that perspective shift, you would realize that tree is a symbol of your own resilience in life. And it marks something that you've gone through, the storms, the, you know, trials and tribulations and the obstacles that you've gone through. And so you realize that I don't need to do something about that tree. But every time I see that tree, it shows me how, you know, where I've gone through and potentially what I can go through, right, in the future. So it's all about the story.
Well said. And then this is also something, you said earlier on in this conversation, that it's all a bit of an illusion because everything is what it is, but you put with your mind a story and a value to it. And once you start to understand the truth of that, is that everything just is what it is. And you can put a nice story to it. You have a choice. You can change the story about the raw material of this reality and put a good story in, and all of a sudden it becomes a more beautiful story. So that's the power that you have very much as a human being, to become able to choose a bit the labels and the stories you put on things and the value you put on things. It's up to you.
And so, you know, along the same thought process, when we set a goal or when we take action towards a goal, how do we know whether that goal stems from within, from our higher self, or that goal is based on years and years of social conditioning? How do we find out? Because I'll give you an example. When I did my MBA a few, you know, years back, at that point, or maybe a little bit before that, I had this fascination for being a consultant in a large big four company, right? Or maybe like a brand manager working in a job, right? And I was so enamored by the lifestyle, or maybe by the amount of money that I thought I could earn as a consultant. And only after really diving deep and doing a lot of journaling did I realize that what truly nourishes me would be to, you know, conduct retreats and help people do breath work and be in the midst of people who are, you know, wanting to experience the true bliss, that a true happiness, a true joy from within, right? My goals of being a consultant was largely stemming from what other people thought I would look good as and what would nourish my ego rather than what would really make myself happy from within. So how does one go about understanding, is that goal really from within or from outside?
I think you said it also yourself already now, right? If it's about yourself and thinking, how would other people see me? And if it's about the ego aspect of doing it for yourself to grow bigger than other people, so that you change your level of perception towards other people, that you become more important or things like that, or richer or have more than others. That is something that comes up from the ego, and the reality of this life is that all these things you were fighting for then, and working hard for then, you're not gonna take with you in continuation of next life, and it doesn't really make you more happy. Once you start to understand what makes you happy is in essence also doing something meaningful for others, helping others, and when it's not about yourself anymore, but it's about making this world or other people's lives a better place. Because in essence, we are, of course, all connected, spiritually seen. We are all connected. And when we see other people suffering, if we are free from our own suffering, we can really feel empathy and we want to help them. We want to take them out of their suffering. But also on a more, let's say, scientific level, this is how we have been able to survive in groups, to do something meaningful for the group, for the tribe, to help each other, and not just to be yourself the strongest and the best, because then the tribe, if everybody would do that, the tribe would not survive. So, but in a more spiritual sense, once you start to understand what really makes me truly happy in life, and when you have freed yourself a bit from the egoistic way of thinking, you understand, like, okay, being able to share, helping others, make this world a better place. Otherwise, it's a hungry emptiness that you can never fill up if you only do it for yourself. But once you feel the endless source, the bubbling source of life, of consciousness within, it wants to stream out and not fill that emptiness up in a certain way.
I think you're touching on a great point here, because I think deep down, each one of us wants to feel like we are part of something larger than ourselves. We want to feel like we're making a difference to some grand purpose. We want to feel like even after we die, that people will somehow, some way remember some of the work that we did, in some form, leave a legacy of some kind. Maybe people are different. But I think a small group of us feels like we want to feel part of a whole rather than feel like I am the best in this whole nation or this whole tribe, and you respect me and you call me by a certain title or something like that.
Yeah, definitely. Mm. And we are all connected, of course. You know, the life that you carry with you, the life that I carry with me, is like a flame that has been passed on from generation right. to generation to generation to generation, and the flame has the same source. And if you look at it more on a energetic scientific level, and in it, that field of consciousness, that the deeper layer of reality, there is a strong connection. But when the awareness and the mind and the heart is so filled up with a lot of blockages and a lot of crap, it's so stuck in the illusion that you have to survive and you have to protect and you have to fight and you have to do this. But once that is free, you start to feel that connection, not just as a theory, but you start to feel it, you know. So therefore, hopefully, this is something that I would advise to all entrepreneurs out there that want to make something happen in life. First, become aware of what is it then that you actually really want at the source? What makes you truly happy? And not stuck in an illusion that you think, well, if I'm going to have this or that, then I'm going to feel complete. Then I'm going to feel happy. Because maybe you succeed, but then you want more. And then you want something else. And then you want something else. And then you want more higher rank or competition. So first, get really clear for yourself. What is it that you truly want to achieve in life? And at source, you just want to feel happy, joy, inner peace. And how can you find it? When also you've been sharing some of your joy and inner peace with others.
That's beautifully, beautifully put, because I think somewhere last year, in the midst of the pandemic, I really went down in my journey of journaling to uncover what truly makes me happy. And I think that journey is never going to end, to really crave and find out what truly makes me happy. But I found out that there are three C's in my life. One is connection with source, connection with people around me. I really crave connection with my own body and my inner nature. The second C is community, like you mentioned. We really crave community and feel like we're part of a family, a group, a tribe, having lunch, dinner, maybe going for a cold shower, cold dip. And the third is creativity. I really crave expressing myself and having an idea that was once a figment of my imagination, but then bringing it out to the world so that people are able to witness it and partake in that experience. So the three C's.
Beautiful. The three C's. Oh, nice. Very, very important. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, wonderful.
So Michael, as somebody who practices these different practices like yoga and qigong, the health and flexibility of the spine is very important, right? So talk to us about why the spinal column and the fluid inside it is so integral to the path of self-realization and becoming more aware of how we're navigating through this lifetime.
Yeah, that's a good question. Well, your spine is of course your core of your whole skeletal system of your whole body, and it represents also, of course, on a more mental and emotional level. If there is mental or physical problems, a lot of times they reflect back into the spine, certain backache, neckache, troubles somewhere in the spine. And learning, when you have a certain back problem or spine problem, learning to not just work on it on a physical level by doing stretches and strengthening, which is also good, don't get me wrong, very important, but also really learning to understand, okay, I also have to work a little bit on my heart and on a heart and mind level to start to clear that out. Now, a flexible and a strong spine is also one of the foundations of a healthy, strong body. Because if there's blockages in the spine, if there is blockages in the flow, where your whole nervous system flows through, your whole energy system flows through, it has to be clear and open. And this is something very helpful. But that said, for years. I had a car accident and my back, my spine was broken into places, and my spine still is not completely straight. It's a little bit bent. Thank God, I don't really have too much of a problem with it, and I can still do everything. I hardly have any problems with it, and it doesn't mean the physical that it's so important. The most important is the subtler layers of your being. On a physical level, you have the flesh and the bones. Yeah, of course, it's important that it's strong and healthy. However, most of us are going to grow old, and there are some things are going to come up with the physical body. But when the mind and the heart is still clear and open and free, it is physical body. It will change forms. It will pass eventually. But when you are connected with the spirit, with the deeper layer of yourself, your higher self, then, you know, it's like some clothes that you drop off, that you let go, and you don't worry too much or care too much about that.
Yeah, I think that's a very important message to pass on, which is that you know, we're limited in terms of how we can really influence our physical body, right? Our bones, our muscles, the structure of our back, our face, maybe some wrinkles that we have or some scars that we had because of some accident, right? I mean, we can change it. And thanks to these beautiful practices like yoga and qigong, we will notice shifts that happen thanks to the grace of God and to the universe. It's in a way limited. But what we can change is our thoughts, is our emotions, is our energetic body, is our understanding of what our true purpose is. And in life is, and that gives us confidence. And that, like you've mentioned, is what actually truly matters. We won't take this body along with us, but we hopefully will take is beautiful memories that we've experienced and the connections that we've made in this lifetime.
Absolutely, yeah. It's the continuation of your state of energy, basically. Right, what I mean with the state of energy, if your state of heart now, your state of emotion, your state of mind,
yeah,
it's a continuity that you have in your life, and if it's a bit of a negative state, not so happy state, like we talked about before, you keep creating that. It's a continuity in your life that you keep on that kind of track. However, you can start to shift a little bit the track with all these wonderful techniques and go into more wholesome states of being, and then you go into a track of more joy, more happiness. And it's that continuity of your energy system. It will continue into a next life, maybe also the physical body will pass, but you will continue your state of being into a next life, and then continue there in maybe a peaceful, joyful, wonderful life in which you can share, in which you can help healing, or still in conflict and feeling anger and sadness and all these things, and you keep creating that in your life. So therefore, it's so very important to make sure that your deeper layer of yourself is that there. Work on that many hours a day instead of working in a certain office for to get more money or more possessions or a certain rank, which you will lose in a couple of decades, in a couple of years.
Right, it's such a beautiful paradox, right? I mean, at one point we realize that what is essential is our heart and is our mind and is our how we hold our energy. But at the same time, sometimes as entrepreneurs, we strive to create these things not for us ourselves, but for the world around us. We want to make an impact, so to speak. And you know, as an entrepreneur, as a visionary, as a creator, what are your thoughts on people that have these intuitive downloads, the universe tells them, you got to do this. You know, you got to do that. This is what you need to create. But sometimes we feel helpless. We feel powerless because we don't have the finances. We don't have the resources. We don't have the connections to convert those ideas that we have in our mind into reality, to bring our visions to life, so to speak. Did you ever feel that way in your journey?
Yes, sometimes maybe I felt like that. The most important thing I think also is what I remembered myself then and what I worked on then is as soon as you lose your calm or your chill because you want to reach a certain point and want to then you are on the wrong track. If you know what I mean. So if you start to think like, it's not working and I should be able to create a wonderful, let's say, a retreat center or something, or I should be able to reach out a lot of people, but I don't have the finances and it doesn't work. And you start to feel an emptiness in the present moment because of your mind concept and your way of thinking. You're missing out on the moment. So then what is important to feel like, okay, you know what? It's also okay. Maybe it's not the time now. I keep doing what I think is right, what I love, but not getting frustrated if the flow doesn't go the way it goes. Because once you start to feel an okayness in the moment now, in the present, things will flow in different ways that you could not expect. Or maybe it was not the best thing for you to keep your calm, to keep your chill. So maybe you would become super successful and it turns out you are becoming more of a businessman than who is getting very stressed out about $10 million of tax he has to pay or something like that. and being really a truthful, shining light in one's own life and in the other people's lives. So therefore, trust the flow of life. Don't make the goal more important than the journey itself, than the present moment itself. And live from that source of abundance, of feeling inner peace and joy and love. And as soon as you feel like, okay, I'm gonna feel joy, inner peace and love when I'm gonna have this and that, then you're on the wrong track, I think.
So I love what you said is don't make the goal more important than the journey itself. And I see that whenever I study, you know, the lives of people who have had a lot of success, they emphasize the importance of the pursuit. Because the pursuit is much more exciting. It's much more exhilarating. It's much more fun because oftentimes it happens that you have that goal and then you achieve that goal and then you're like, now what?
Then your mind makes up another thing again that is there.
Right. So fall in love with the pursuit. I love that. Michael, what are your thoughts on manifestation? What role does it play in the achievement of our goals?
Very, very important. I actually launched a couple of days ago a manifestation course. I think it's very important. The thing, though, is you have to, and what we talked about first, you have to really know what you want to manifest. Because if you're trapped in an illusion that you want to manifest a big house, a nice car, all these material things that you think are going to make you happy, but actually once you have them, it turned out to be an illusion that it would make you happy, and then you want something else again. You keep projecting some form of possession or status that you think will make you happy. Then it does work, manifestation in that way, but it's first what I already said, important to feel what is it that you truly want in life and to find it within yourself first. And then it will reflect into your life. Like we said, your state of heart, your state of being, what is within here, it will reflect back into your life. So learn to work on it from within. If somebody thinks, okay, if you ask them, what do you want to manifest in your life? And he or she said, well, I want to have a nice relationship. I want to have a beautiful wife or husband. And I want to have two kids and a nice house.
Yeah.
Okay. But once you have that, what is it then that you want to experience? What is it that you want to feel? Because it's not about this possession. It's about a state of being that you want to achieve. And the state of being that he or she wants to achieve is to feel fulfillment, to feel at peace, to feel not wanting always to look for something to fill up that emptiness which is within. So once one starts to really understand that and think, okay, what is it then that I really want to achieve? Ah, it's a state of being. I want to feel completeness. I want to feel, and I think this or that will make me complete. But no, you want to feel it within. So learn then to feel it in every moment, in the here and now, in this present moment, and then things can start to manifest into your life. And you will start to understand there's actually a whole different thing what at the source we want to manifest, and what you said already, it's to share, to help others, to do something meaningful in this world, and not just to fill up an emptiness that you cannot fill up in those ways.
That's very true. And I think that no matter what we are trying to achieve or manifest in life, it's all because we are seeking a certain type of feeling. Because if you do manifest that house, but deep down you're still feeling stuck and resentful and emotionally distraught, then the point of you manifesting that house would not be fulfilled, right? So, you know, having that feeling within, and you can feel that way today. You don't need to, right, have that physical manifestation of that house in order to feel that way, which I think is important. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, that is the thing, really, to understand that everything you look for in your life is already within you. Because it's a state, it's a feeling that you can start to feel and produce yourself, that state of feeling of completeness, of connection. When there's no connection because you are so busy with things outside of yourself or such a troubled mind, and you don't feel the connection with your true self, God, nature, consciousness, all these aspects. If you don't feel that, you can try so much to find it outside of yourself, but you cannot find it within. But if there is that emptiness within, in all sorts of ways, it's like a black hole. You try to fill it up, but there is still that emptiness and that intention to fill it up with something outside of yourself. But once you feel it's within, the whole process and the whole view on what you want to manifest, it shifts from getting to giving, because it's a well that you it starts to bubble. It's already complete within, but you want to start giving. So that is why reaching your maybe the destination in life is to get to that source, to feel that at your center, and from there you can start sharing what you have found. But it's a process.
Any other mistakes that you see people making when it comes to manifestation or achieving their goals or visions?
Being afraid to go within. With what is it that people want to manifest? It's with their mind and with their state of heart. With the mind, the imagination, the thinking about it, the visualization. With the heart, learning to feel it. Learning to really feel it. But that means first, if you want to use certain machinery or that projector, what we talked about, you first have to make sure it's in good shape. You first have to make sure it's cleaned up. And the cleaning up process is a little bit of work. It can be joyful work with certain wonderful breathing techniques, and but also sometimes you get your hands a little bit dirty, and you have to be afraid to dive deep within. So, in trying to manifest, to only manifest outside of themselves, and not being able to first go within, to first clean up your own house. Otherwise, you keep also manifesting. You can just keep manifesting more trouble in your life. You have a lot of pain and resentment and troubled mind in your life, and you then want to do your best really to manifest a certain situation in your life. For instance, having a nice house or a relationship. What you end up with is having maybe a nice house, because a lot of these manifestation techniques work, but you will get again trouble. You get financial situations that you get worried again, or that in your relationship you will have conflicts again. All these things you manifest with it, because it comes from that same heart and mind which had this pollution in it.
So what is the nature of your relationship with money? What is your core belief about it?
It's an energy, money. It's an energy, and you can see it in any way that you want. In the one hand, some people, they feel like money is evil and it's bad and it's not good. A lot of times, these people that I meet, they having a lot of issues with money. It doesn't flow in their lives because they block themselves, because they think it's evil, but always they need money. And that's always true. They feel like, I don't have any money again. And they're always struggling with money. And at the same time, they want it, but at the same time, they hate it. And it is not a healthy relationship. Money can be used in many, many ways. A lot of people doing very beautiful things with money, helping others. Also, many people are doing very evil things with money. It's like a tool, like a knife or an axe. You can build something with it, make some nice things with it, or you can kill somebody with it. Same thing goes for money. Once you get your relationship with money in good order, and once you start to also be able to, to like yourself enough to think like, okay, I would want this for myself. I don't know what is the right word for it, but if you would like somebody to have something, what's the word for that?
Self-worth?
Self-worth, yeah. Basically, yeah. To feel like, he is a nice person. I want him to have this. It's a good. And if you start to feel like that also towards yourself, because you do good to other people, because you help other people, and not thinking, I'm so good, I deserve it or something. No, but you think like you would like it for somebody that you find is a good person. You also find I want it for myself. And that you like that you create a flow of giving and receiving. And it's all a reflection in life. What you give, you will receive back. And that goes with the negative and the positive. But if you start flowing and start just giving, you will receive also so much back into your life. So if you want to receive, start giving.
And along the same lines, sometimes a person in evaluating their life and their relationship with money, they notice that they've had certain money blocks, right? Certain emotional money blocks within. Have you ever had those? And what did you do about it? How do you resolve these emotional money blocks that are potentially holding us back from receiving or enabling the flow of money into our lives?
Yeah. Well, thank God I never had this. When I was young, I used to go to church every Sunday, but I remember my father always put quite a lot of money in the basket that would go around, and he would always give it in a way that's kind of nobody would see it, or he would make donation and nobody would see it. And like we talked about in the beginning, what you see your parents do, you want to do yourself as well. So this was for me like, okay, well, maybe that's the way to do it. So I also at quite a young age started giving donations to charity, all these things, and I'm very, very grateful that I learned how to give, and thank God I financially was always in a good flow. I always received a lot, and I think it's a rule of this reality on a more subtle level. It's a flow you start to create by giving. It's like the universe wants to give you enough to keep giving, and like that you create a flow. So I'm very, very grateful for that, to life, to God, that I've always had a good flow of money, and hopefully I can keep in a way sharing the wealth and helping others. And also, it doesn't mean that I was super wealthy or something, but I just never felt like, ooh, I have no money, or I don't have enough. Even if I maybe didn't have so much money, maybe somebody else would have a lot more money and he would feel like, ah, I have almost not enough for this. But I always felt a trust, like, it will flow, it will flow. So yeah, I'm very grateful for that.
Great. I think that's a great perspective to have, because it's so relative, right? Somebody might be sitting on like $10 million of wealth and still feeling like they're not enough, not rich enough, not wealthy enough, because somebody in their peer group has $30 million. And so it's always this rat race that they want to climb, whereas somebody, on the other hand, might have less money, but they have the sense of trust that the universe will provide it by any means necessary to support them in their endeavor of doing good in this world.
Absolutely. And also, you know, I've met, of course, a lot of people in different countries, and they would have almost nothing, but they were so rich because they were still able to share, and they were able to still give. And I've met also people who were super rich. They were so stingy. They were so greedy. They were so poor, actually. And they still did not have enough. So wealth has not very much to do with money. Of course, we live in a system, and you and I are part of it. Eh? The clothes that I wear are paid with money, and the TV and the screen or the computer, everything is paid with money. So whether if somebody is watching this now, whether you want it or not, you're part of that money flowing system, and the computer that you're watching it on now is paid with money, and this chair that you're sitting on and everything, it's part of the flow. Learn to flow with that flow in a way. Don't resent it, don't resist it, don't fight it, don't judge it, but flow with it. Be grateful for what you have. Just be grateful, grateful, grateful for everything that you have, and put the flow in motion.
So if someone listening to this show wants to intentionally design their life now, how should they be thinking through this? What should they be doing initially, or for the first step or first few steps?
Not that I want to very much promote my own course, which is also a very beautiful course. But like I said, I created this 40-day days of transformation. In 40 days, every day, you have to do some writing assignments. You have to do breathing techniques, all these things. And it's a step-by-step program to really start transforming your life. Because it's basically that, like what we talked about in the beginning, it's about creating new habit patterns. It's about having a habit pattern in which you take a little bit of time every day to clear out your mind, to clear out your heart, and also through the day to every now and then connect back to your source. And also every day to maybe write down just 5 minutes or 3 minutes, just to write down, okay, what is it that I want to create today to achieve? What have I learned? What were my mistakes? What were my feelings about this or that? And if you do that every day for several weeks, this helps. Because just giving people a tip like, okay, be grateful for five things every day, it's wonderful, it's helpful. But if you really want to make a change, it has to be an everyday system for several weeks, and then a big change will happen. Otherwise, you stay peeling off this, peeling the surface a little bit and not going deep into this.
Wonderful. Thanks a lot for sharing. And Action Tribe, if you have any questions so far, and I know some of you are watching still, which I appreciate it. We're 1 hour and 16 minutes into this interview, and some of you are still dedicatedly listening to this episode. So if you have any questions, please add it in the comments below. Robert has a message, and he says, I really appreciate this message. Most people need to hear it. Self-awareness and taking control of one's life, telling their own story and not going through life in autopilot is something everyone should do. We hear it all the time from people, but never truly pay attention. Always putting unimportant things over ourselves or spending our time on things that do not grow our experiences as a person. Money and power is meaningless. I recently found out that I have a genetic heart condition that can't be helped. Despite perfect blood work, great diet, treating my heart with care and respect my entire life, my life expectancy at age 30 is another 10 years. Knowing that you have 10 instead of 40 years really changes your perspective on things. And even then, that is guaranteed not for any of us, no matter how hard we try. So,
thank you, Robert, for sharing that. And very powerful to for you to see it in that way, that you feel like, okay, it changes my perspective on things, really making the best of this. And I wish you all the best. And like we talked about earlier on in this conversation, that this physical body, for all of us and for you, it's of course a lot less years, and I cannot imagine how you can sometimes feel about it. But everybody that is listening now, in 60 years from now, none of us will be here anymore. The question is, what direction do you let that your soul, your energy, like a ball that is rolling in a certain direction, which continuum do you give it? Where do you let it flow? And hopefully still being able to make this a beautiful life. So Robert, thank you very much. I wish you all the best, really, all the best peace and blessings in your life. And hopefully you can inspire the lives of many and find your source of happiness and joy and connection with a greater life that is beyond this reality of space and time and physical body. I wish you all the best with that.
Hey, Robert. Robert is one of our regular listeners, and I appreciate you sharing this message, Robert. You know, it's just a reminder of being in the present moment each and every day and engaging in practices that allow us to, you know, understand what truly makes us happy and joyful and listening to these podcasts. So I appreciate you coming here and sharing your message. And, you know, I think there's something to be said about epigenetics and what we're learning in the field of medicine right now. We're on an exponential curve, and we're finding out new things each and every day that our human body can turn on and off certain genes. thereby allowing us to go down a certain route. So I would really hang in there, have the faith, the courage, and hope that, you know, amazing things are meant for you down the line. And who knows, right? The healthcare industry is really coming out with numerous changes and incremental solutions. So, you know, hang in there. My wishes and prayers are for you, and we can do this. Thanks, Michael, for this wonderful message. Action Tribe, I hope you enjoyed today's episode as much as I did. We're learning that whenever we feel stuck, whenever we feel overwhelmed or a bit drained out, it's an indication to go inwards and listen to what your intuition is telling you. When you only focus on getting things done, sometimes you lose touch with the intention and the awareness behind the things that you are doing. Instead, take some time to go within and indulge in practices like meditation and breath work and Qigong, because that'll help you calm your mind and reveal the light within. Because in that state, you are more likely to receive the idea, that inspiration, and that intuitive download that you'll need on your journey ahead. For as Thich Nhat Hanh once put, awareness is like the sun. When it shines on things, the things are transformed. Right? So this is really, really interesting.
Beautiful. And what were the three C's? The three C's again that you said. What was that?
The three C's are community, creativity, and connection.
Beautiful.
Yeah. So Action Tribe, I've started adding this new thing this, but it's basically a trivia question. If you know the answer, email me as quick as you can, because the first three people to get the right answer and email me will get a one-on-one breathwork session with me on Zoom. And the question is, which city do I live in? Is it A, Vancouver? Is it B, Toronto? Is it C, Los Angeles? Or is it D, Calgary? Email me at aj@my7chakras.com with the headline trivia question and tell me what the answer is. All emails will receive a reply, but only the first three will get a one-on-one breathwork session with me. And with that being said, it is now time for our wisdom round, four questions so that our listeners can take note and take action. All right. So Michael, what is the best piece of advice that you have ever received? If that has changed over the last 6 months.
Yeah. Well, to use every moment of your life as a chance to transform.
And if you could turn back time, spend 1 hour with someone who's living or dead, who would it be?
I think it would be Jesus.
What is that one thing you do in the morning or evening these days that has improved the quality of your life?
Drink a glass of lukewarm water with a little bit of lemon in it. Just a tiny touch.
Nice. And if you could recommend one book for our listeners, what would it be?
There is this book called Mind Over Medicine. And this is a very interesting book. It's Rankin is the last name. I forgot the first name of the person. Lisa Rankin, I believe it is. And it's a book about how your mind affects your body and how by changing your mind, you can really overcome a lot of diseases. It's full of scientific research, and it's a very interesting book. I would recommend that for sure.
You've not written a book yourself, right? Yet?
I never wrote a book myself. No.
Oh, I would hope that you write a book soon. I mean, I would be the first one to grab a copy.
Wonderful. Yeah, thanks.
Cool. So Action Tribe, all of you already know this, but audible.com is offering all our listeners one free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial so that you can get to check out their service. It's just like a podcast, except that the author themselves, in most cases, is reading out the book to you on your phone or your device. So if you want to get this book, Mind Over Medicine, which Michael has shared for free, go to my7chakras.com/freebook, my7chakras.com/freebook, and claim your free credit, Mind Over Medicine. grab that book. So Michael, thanks a lot for joining us today and sharing all those nuggets of wisdom and your stories about how to build more awareness in our lives. Before you go, tell us one thing that you're grateful for and how can we find you online and how can somebody enroll in your manifestation program that you've recently released?
Well, I'm feeling very grateful for being able to share all these wonderful findings that I found and that I learned from some wonderful teachers about the workings of the mind and the body, and to be able to share that also with you through your podcast. Very grateful for that. And if people are interested in doing that 40-day project, you can check out Yoga Lab with a P, yogalab.com, Life Awareness Project. And this course is called the 40 Days of Transformation. So Yoga Lab, L-A-P, .com, and then 40 Days of Transformation. And yeah, it's 40 days of really choosing, okay, now with live sessions, I'm going to make something beautiful change in my own state of being and change something in life also. So check it out.
That is amazing. Now, Action Tribe, many of you know this, but if you're on Instagram, take a screenshot of this episode and tag both me and Michael on Instagram so that we can share your story with our community. My handle is my seven is a word, my seven chakras. And you can find Michael on Instagram as well. I believe you've got two Instagrams, right? One is for Yoga Lab.
Yeah, it's just the one that we're using now. It's Michael Michael Biker. Yeah, just my own name, Michael Biker. Michael. Yeah. So as you can see in the chat somewhere. Yeah.
Yeah. So do that and, tag us so that we can share it. And Michael does some amazing stuff on his Instagram profile as well. And from time to time, he does these Instagram live streams for maybe a yoga class or maybe some breath work. So make sure you check his profile out. Michael, thank you so much for coming on our show, talking to us about the power of cultivating awareness and stillness and silence and taking us one step closer to a human revolution.
Thank you, AJ. All the best. Peace and love to everyone that's listening. Let's make this world a beautiful one.
Thank you for listening to My Seven Chakras at mysevenchakras.com. That is MySEVEN chakras.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.